The reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever.
I want to once again welcome our visitors that we have. I know we have family members of members here at East Shelby who are visiting for the holidays. We may have people from the community who are here. For whatever reason that you're here, you're our honored guest, and we're encouraged by your presence. And we certainly hope that if there are any questions that you have about the way that we do things, or if you'd like to learn more about God through His Word, then we'd love to sit down and have a Bible study with you. That's all we want. It's just to study the Word of God with you and show you straight from the page what it is that He has to say about your spiritual needs. 2019 was a very interesting year for me. I got a new job. I got a new house. Obviously live in a new city. I got to meet a lot of new people and make a lot of new friends. It's interesting that if you had told me at the beginning of 2018 that I would spend all of 2019 in the Mid-South, I probably wouldn't have believed you. We were very happy in Phoenix, and Phoenix was certainly a place that I could live for a long time. And it was absolutely not a prejudice on my part against Memphis or Tennessee or Olive Branch, Mississippi or anything, but just wasn't a place that was on my radar. It was not a place that I had ever thought I would live. And so 2019 was a very interesting year and a very good year. And I went to a few weddings, saw a lot of good movies, ran some good races, but also ran some bad races. And I went to a few funerals as well. And there were bad experiences along with the good experiences. You could say, all in all, it was another year in the books. Another year in the books. How was your 2019? Oftentimes on social media, like Facebook and Twitter and that sort of thing, or even in person at times, you'll hear statements where people talk about how their year was just so rough, and they're looking forward to the new year. I've got very pessimistic friends who, you know, it's so interesting how they'll talk about the change of the year as if it has some kind of magic power over them, where they're like, 2019 was so bad, like, this clearly wasn't my year. This was just such a bad, nothing good happened this year. And then they'll look forward to 2020 as if the changing of the calendar has some like cosmic impact on their life. Like, finally, it's 2020. Like, well, okay, well, what's the real difference between December 31st and January 1st? Nothing. Maybe you've seen a similar statement as well on Facebook where people will say, finally a new year, I've really needed this. Or 2020 is going to be my year, definitely better than 2019. Or looking back, I really didn't accomplish most of my goals last year. I really failed on my New Year's resolutions. Or last year was the year of fill in the blank insurmountable challenge. And I don't mean to be facetious or sarcastic or anything, but maybe for you, 2019 was the year of cancer. It was the year that Dad died. It was the year that was the hardest year of our marriage ever. It was the hardest year of raising my son or raising my daughter that we've had yet. And maybe there was just something about 2019 where every time you look back on it and think about it, 2019 was just the year of what seemed at the time to be the greatest insurmountable challenge of your life. Now, it's very easy to write off last year if the bad experiences were very memorable to you. Yet every single one of them was an opportunity to learn something. A few moments ago, our scripture reading was from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to reread that and make a couple of points before we move on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, coming from a man who had bad experiences aplenty, as he would go on to point out just a few pages later in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, being shipwrecked and stoned and beaten and always anxious and always concerned and always worried and always all these troubles in his life, this is what that man had to say. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Maybe 2019 was the year. And again, I'm not being sarcastic about this at all, because we're all going to hit that moment where there's just not a lot of gas left in the tank. But maybe 2019 was the year that you finally felt old for the first time. Like it finally dawned on you that thing you could always do before, you can't do anymore. You used to be able to bounce back real quick from the flu, but you can't bounce back anymore. And maybe that's just a fact, is 2019 was a year of health difficulties for you. You were sick a lot, you were injured a lot, old age just kind of caught up with you finally. It's interesting that Paul would write, even though the outer man is decaying day by day, and many of us feel that way at times, the outer man is decaying. We're getting older. We're falling apart. There's like the bolts falling off and, you know, the panel of metal's falling. We're like an airplane that's kind of falling apart in the sky. Yet he says the inner man, the part that endures, is being renewed. So yeah, maybe 2019 you finally started feeling old. Or at least older than you were before. But was 2019 also an opportunity for you to grow the inner man more than before? He goes on to say here in verse 17, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Momentary light affliction. Wait a minute. Five times I've received 39 lashes, three times beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked. I've spent a night and a day in the deep on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers and robbers, my own countrymen from Gentiles, in the city, in the wilderness, on the sea and among false brethren, labors and hardships aplenty. You mean that guy could call it light and momentary affliction? He's either crazy or he's realized something that we fail to realize pretty often, which is that compared to eternity, 70 or 80 or maybe 90 years of life on planet Earth isn't going to feel like much in hindsight. It is momentary light affliction. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what makes 2019 a good year or a bad year? Hey, it was a good year for me. My kids are healthy. And I'm not gloating, but hey, I got a new job. And I got a new house. And hey, so what makes 2019 a good year for one person and a bad year for another person? It's the temporal things. It's the temporary things, the superficial things, the stuff like the house or the job or the big pay raise, or, on the converse, the house that you had to move away from, the job that you lost, the raise or the promotion that was given to somebody else. What makes it a good year or a bad year? You know, Job had a bad year one time. Anybody remember Job's bad year? It's interesting that Job had his year was a lot worse than yours. I don't care how bad 2019 was. I don't care what you thought about impeachment. And by the way, you know, every year, you could sum up every year in one word, and it is the word that we're all tired of hearing. Like, okay, we have used up this century's allotment of the word impeachment. We don't need to hear that word anymore, okay? It's like, I've heard it enough. But no matter what you thought about it, like, was this a great year? Was this a bad year? You know what? Your year wasn't as bad as Job's year. And yet Job looked back on that year in the last chapter of Job, and he says, I get it now. He says in verses 1 through 6, I understand now. I said things I shouldn't have said. I thought things I shouldn't have thought. I understood God in a superficial way, and I get God now. I understand now these deep spiritual divine truths than I did before. And just like it says in James chapter 1, one of our favorite passages in James chapter 1 and verses 2 and onward, talks about how we face suffering, we face trials, we face pain. But at the end of all of it, we receive knowledge. Perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, he says in James chapter 1. And so that's why we consider it to be a joyful thing when we encounter various trials, not because we like to get the flu, or we like to lose a job, or we like to go to a person's funeral, but because at the end of those things, on the other side of those experiences, there is something that we can learn that we never would have learned if it wasn't for that. So was 2019 really that bad? We tend to remember what we choose to remember, kind of like Naomi in Ruth chapter 1. I want to read what Naomi has to say here. And it says there in Ruth chapter 1, Joshua judges Ruth. Not a book we go to very often, but it's such an amazing story. And I think Naomi is such an important character in this story, because while we laud Ruth as the great hero or heroine of this story, as she rightfully is, and she's an extremely wonderful example of faith, Naomi really is the character with the story arc, or with the character arc, that is to say. She's the one that we see kind of change and transform from beginning to end so much. Now, Naomi was a woman who, with her husband and her two sons, left a land of famine to go to the land of Moab, where she and her family believed that there would be sustenance. And they were there for a while, and her two sons end up getting married there in the land of Moab. But unfortunately, her sons, as well as her husband, both die while they're there. I mean, that's a huge tragedy. Can you imagine what it would be like in almost one fell swoop to lose a parent, a spouse and kids? And she loses her husband and her two sons all in quick succession. And she goes back to her homeland, back to Bethlehem. And when she's on, and when she arrives back there, people see her, and she's just ragged and worn out. And she's a mess. She's a complete mess. And it's so sad because her name Naomi means pleasant or sweet, right? She used to be called Naomi, the sweet woman. Such a pleasant, oh, we love that Naomi. Such a pleasant woman Naomi is. And when she comes back, all she's got in tow with her is a daughter-in-law, Ruth. And bad memories. And so this is what it says here when she goes back to her people in verse 19. So they both went till they came to Bethlehem. And it came about when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? She must have looked awful. And again, I'm not being sarcastic, but when you've been traveling on the road and you've had tragedy and a husband and your sons are dead and you just look just world weary. I mean, she must have looked awful. People can hardly recognize her. Is that Naomi? That haggard, miserable, world-weary person. Is that Naomi? Look what she has to say about it. She says, stop calling me Naomi. I'm not pleasant anymore. I'm no sweet woman anymore. My experience is, I'm not Naomi. Quit calling me that. From now on, call me Mara, which means bitter. Just call me bitter from now on. That's all I am, is I'm just bitter. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. God has treated me badly. Verse 21, I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. So why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has witnessed against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. Now, in the moment, does that seem like a fair assessment of her life? In the moment? Sure. And I think a lot of us do the same thing. When we face that challenge or that trial, we say, don't call me happy anymore. Don't call me blessed. You can't call this man blessed. God's afflicting me. God's bringing me real low. God's brought me down. But if you know how the story of the book of Ruth ends, you know it was far from it. All of what happened to Naomi was leading up to a very joyful end to this story. And it's interesting that if none of that stuff had happened, if all the bad stuff had not happened, then the great end to the story would not have happened. In the moment, all of our trials feel like God is harming us and God is hurting us and God is tearing us down. In the moment, we feel abandoned by God. And that's because we lack the perspective to see what life might be like a year from now or 10 years from now or for the rest of eternity. How does switching calendars change anything? Oh, the power of the calendar. 2019 was not your year. Full of bad luck and bad experiences. But don't worry. Don't worry. I've seen it on Facebook. 2020 is going to be your year. I posted a really pretty picture on Facebook. And now, let's go get them, friends. Let's get 2020. Let's grab it by the horns. How does changing calendars change anything? A new year promises you absolutely nothing. 2020 promises you absolutely nothing. And it could be as bad or even worse than 2019 was. Could be as bad or even worse. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. Look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. Like the way the writer puts it here in Proverbs 27, verse 1, where he says, do not boast about tomorrow. Don't boast about this year. Don't boast about 2020. Don't boast about how 2020 is going to be the year of Ryan. Do not boast about tomorrow, because you don't know what a day may bring forth. You have no idea what is going to happen in 2020. Did you plan on 2019 being so bad? Because I think if we all scrolled through your Facebook history, if we went back to January 1st, 2019, you'd all be saying, 2019 is going to be the year of Ryan. 2019 is going to be my year. It's going to be the year I accomplish that goal. I'm going to finally do that thing. I'm going to learn that skill. I'm going to get that promotion. 2019 is going to be my year. But then it didn't turn out to be. The fact is that our contentment, our joy, our happiness must not be wrapped up in any earthly condition, no matter how good or horrible it was. 2019 was a good year. You know why? Because it was a year where God was available to you, where grace was always right there at the tip of your tongue. To just ask for it. To just plead for it. That people showed you mercy and God showed you mercy. That 2019 was a year where you got to live. You had a chance to learn. You had a chance to grow. You had the Bible in front of you. You had Christians around you who loved you. And it was a year where you could learn something. And maybe it wasn't the year you planned, but it was a year where you could learn something. And so Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances are presented to me. I've learned to be content when I'm full, and I've learned to be content when I'm hungry, when I have a lot and when I have a little. I have learned the secret of being content. You know what his secret was? Contentment was not wrapped up in any earthly condition. And maybe he was full and maybe he was hungry, but his contentment had nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with it. So planning or assuming anything about the future is a very dangerous game. Assuming anything about 2020 is just setting you up for some kind of failure. Like the way that it's put in James chapter 4, probably a verse that you're fairly familiar with, but it says here in James chapter 4 and verse 13, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such city and spend a year there and engage in business and we'll make a profit. But you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and we'll do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So with all this being said, what should I want from 2020? If I can't guarantee that I'll finally learn the guitar, and if I can't guarantee that I'll finally qualify for the Boston Marathon, and if I can't guarantee that I'm going to be healthy all year and prosperous all year and keep all the promises that I make, what should I want from 2020? First of all, I should want to be reminded that I'm 1 year closer to judgment. Whether that's the form of the judgment day itself finally coming, or my own life coming to an end and facing the conclusion to that. I should want to be reminded of that. I should want to be aware of that, because the judgment is good news. I have an opportunity to live my life for God. And I have an opportunity, by the way, to live with the knowledge of what is coming. Not when it's coming, but what is coming. I love Paul's attitude in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And this do, he says, in Romans 13, verse 11, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. And now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone. The day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly, he says in verse 13, in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. I love that statement. Salvation is nearer to us than when we began. Now, I don't know how much nearer. I mean, I don't know when salvation is going to happen. I don't know if I'll die today or tomorrow or whenever, or if the judgment day will come before I finish my sermon today. I don't know that. But I know it is coming, and I know that every day I live, I'm 1 day closer to it. However far away it is, salvation is nearer right now than it was yesterday. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's one more day of temptations that's put behind you. That's one more day of regrets that you can put in the past. That's one more day of guilt that's in the rearview mirror that you don't have to live in any longer. And it's one more day closer to leaving behind cold, dreary days on planet Earth where our bodies ache, where people disappoint us, where we make mistakes and have to face the consequences of them. It's just one more day closer to the end of all that. And I like living on planet Earth for what it is. And I'm not in a hurry to die. But when I do, I'm going to welcome it. I should want to gain greater perspective on life's challenges. Was 2019 really as bad as I remember it being? Because many of our challenges seem daunting while we're facing them. But time and perspective reveal how temporary they were. 365 days is a lot of days. And maybe you were sick for a number of them, but you weren't sick for all of them. And 365 days is a lot of days. And not all of them were lonely days. And not all of them were days of suffering. There were good days in there too. Maybe you got to work hard to remember them. But there were good days as well. I know that hindsight is 20/20, but hindsight is 20/20. I don't know a better way to put it. Like, you might think of that as just that he's just saying that, right? That's just a saying, right? That's just kind of an empty triviality. Well, hindsight is 20/20. Yes, it is. Hindsight is 20/20. Because you can look back on your experiences with a level head, with clear eyes, and say, you know what? It was bad while I was going through it. It was bad while I was experiencing it, but it didn't last forever. And it won't last forever. And there's always relief at the end of it. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have anything to fear. Because the valley of the shadow of death doesn't last forever. Life is not all about the valley of the shadow of death. You emerge from it eventually. You always do. You always do. I should want from 2020 to remember that old age isn't just about getting old. Now, I'm not as young as I used to be, but I'm also, hopefully, not as naive as I used to be, or ignorant as I used to be, or gullible, or temperamental, or as easily annoyed, or as timid as I used to be. Old age isn't just about getting old. And we fixate sometimes on that. In 2020, I'm going to be 37 in 2020. Now, that's not 40, but we're... And I'm no math genius, but as far as I can tell, the rounding up is not working in my favor any longer. Math has never been and never shall be my friend. And I felt it this year, though. I know that 36 is not old. I fully acknowledge that. I'm not making a joke or anything like that. Just, I know 36 is not old. I don't believe I'm an old man. But 36 is younger than Jacob Reeves, and he runs a lot faster than I do. And he drives me nuts. You know why? Because 36 is not 27 or 28. It's just, it is what it is. And I've had more injuries this year running than I have in all the rest of my life. Really, I have been injured more of this year than not. And you're 36, Ryan. There's just some things you're not going to be able to bounce back from anymore. We get fixated on that, though. We get fixated on getting... That old age is about getting old. That's not what it's all about. I love some verses in the Bible here. In Proverbs chapter 16, a couple of verses here from Proverbs that shed some light on this. And in Proverbs chapter 16, notice verse 31. A gray head is a crown of glory. It's found in the way of righteousness. Look up. A gray head is a crown of glory. It's found in the way of righteousness. You go on to chapter 20 and verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair. So the glory of Jacob Reeves is his speed, but the honor of Ryan is, I guess my hair is turning gray. And I think instead of looking at the bad things about getting older, look at that there are great blessings that are involved in getting older. Yeah, the glory of young men is their strength. I get that. But there's honor to be found in the gray hair. There's honor to be found in growing older. If you think about it, growing older is finally starting to think about becoming an elder. Growing older is seeing your kids becoming the adults that you wanted them to be, hoped they would be, prayed they would be. Growing older is grandchildren on your lap, spoiling them and then sending them home full of sugar. Growing older is people speaking respectfully to you the way you deserve, the way you ought to be spoken to. Growing older is making a comment in Bible class and everybody in the room is nodding in agreement because there's wisdom behind what you say. So maybe I'm not as young as I used to be, and neither are you. But we hope to put behind some of the foolishness of our youth along the way. And I want 2020 to surprise me. Because 2019 surprised me. And I liked a lot of the surprises I got in 2019. I liked you. You surprised me. I came here, and the history of East Shelby does not need to be recounted in this setting, obviously. But I came here thinking that there was a job to do. And that there would be some challenges involved in that job. that 2018 was not the best year ever for East Shelby. And maybe 2019 was kind of a hinge point. Were things going to get better or worse? You surprised me in 2019. And I want 2020 to surprise me also. I want things to happen in 2020 that I never could have planned. You know what happened in 2005 that I never could have planned? Meeting Rebecca. In January of 2005, I didn't even know who Rebecca was. She was in Arizona, I was in Oregon, never met. I never could have planned it, never could have planned that better. I want 2020 to surprise me. I want God to surprise me. Because many of our greatest blessings from God have little to do with the plans that we make for ourselves. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And in verse 9 of that same chapter, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And finally, remember that you might not get to turn the page on next year's calendar. Maybe 2020 is the last calendar you get to pin up on your wall. The last calendar that you ever get to flip through. Maybe 2020 is the last year you see those puppies hanging down the side of the fridge or on the bulletin board in your family home. Because 2020 may be the last year you live on planet Earth. Judgment is coming. It is coming. More assuredly than even 2020 is coming. So how are you living right now to make preparations and plans? How are you living right now so that you are ready for whatever it is that God has in store for 2020? Even if it should include the end of your life and facing judgment. If you're not a Christian here this morning, you really ought to be. Now is an opportunity that you have to make your life right with God. Heed the gospel message, which is put so succinctly in Mark 16, 16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. So whatever need you might have of a spiritual nature, please let it be known by coming forward as we stand and sing.